Welcome to another episode of Bird's Eye View. I am Jeff McLean of the Philadelphia Inquirer here along with fellow Eagles beat reporter Zach Berman.
What's going on, Jeff? It looks like we can start making January plans because 5-6, I don't know if the season's going to go beyond January 1st at this point.
Yeah, it looks like the Eagles will have to win all five to have a shot at the playoffs. They're technically, I think, in 11th place in the NFC. Is that correct? Something like that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of teams jumbled there, but...
Right, they're tied with two other 5-6 teams, the Packers being one of them.
But there's no reason to think this team can win five in a row right now.
Right. I think the Giants and the Redskins are the two teams right now that would qualify for those wild card berths. So they had to play both those teams so they could help their causes by beating both of them. But that being said, they did not play like a playoff caliber team, nor have they really over the last eight games. And that was pretty much your question to Doug Peterson, who is our first topic of discussion today. Was Doug, you know, your team has lost 6 of 8. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on here? Why are you heading in the wrong direction? And Doug's answer?
Doug said that he doesn't look at the wins and losses. He said you, meaning, you know, the reporters, the outside world, looks at the wins and losses. He looks at the potential of the team, the way they're progressing. And I suppose he needs to say that. But the reality is when you watch them, they were a better team in those first, you know, few weeks of the season than they are now. They just you could say it's injuries, but they only have one contributor on injured reserve. That's Ron Brooks. Otherwise, obviously Lane Johnson's suspension and the lack of production of some key players. But they're just a team that doesn't have much depth and is not good enough in a lot of areas.
Right. You know, again, those first three games, I think, you know, the Bears and the Browns are two of the worst mm-hmm. teams in the league. They basically had their best full out, complete victory in beating the Steelers. And they've had some good wins since then, I mean, over the Vikings and over the Falcons, two teams with winning records. But for the most part, I think when you stand back and look at the team, and I think that was Doug's whole point, and it's probably not the time for him to say that, and his answer that, you know, obviously we're headed in the right direction sounds tone deaf after a loss like that. But I agree with you. I understand where Doug's coming from. He's going to answer it that type of way. People are going to parse those words and get upset about him in here, Philadelphia. But our job is to look at him look at them objectively. And, you know, they're not headed in the right direction, certainly in terms of the playoffs. But in terms of even if you're looking towards the future, they just have so many holes at so many key spots that you just wonder, you know, can this get fixed in 1 or 2 years? Wide receiver, cornerback, there are severe holes there. And it's not only the fact that they have to go out and fill them. It's just that when they have tried to fill them over the last several years, they have been unsuccessful in finding the type of talent to fill those spots.
Yeah, but the reason to think that they might be going in the right direction is the quarterback. And I'm jumping the gun, and we'll get to that in a minute, I imagine. But when you see the way Carson Wentz plays, and I imagine from Doug Peterson's perspective, the hardest thing to find is the quarterback. And the Eagles have a quarterback. So in that sense, you can be going in the right direction. But I agree that they have a lot of holes to fill here. In some cases, you can overcome it by good quarterback play. But the other factor is good coaching. And at this point in the season, the sample size is getting larger. And it's something you've written about. You start to wonder, is Doug Peterson a top level coach? Is he a playoff caliber coach? And it's way too soon that to have, you know, your final opinion on that. But it is getting to the point now in his first season where there's more to evaluate, and it's not always positive.
Right, there's been a series of questionable decisions that he has made with each passing week. Mm-hmm. Just real quick, when you're talking about Carson and building around him for the future, et cetera, like, again, is Doug stunting his growth by, you know, he keeps saying that he can't place too much on his shoulders to go out there and win the games, and here he is, once again, relying way too much on Carson. He dropped the pass 44 times, and they only ran the ball 14 times.
I disagree with you there, though, because when you've watched the way teams have beaten the Packers, It's been through the air for the most part, you know. And
but they were having success on the ground. I mean, Wendell Smallwood was gaining yards on the ground. I don't think it was that bad because I think again they only trailed 4 points midway through the third quarter. It's more on the defense than it was the offense, if you ask me.
And I would even disagree there too. And I'm not absolving the defense. But the offense scored 13 points against a defense that has allowed over 30 points the past four games and over 40 points the past two games.
Yeah, but my answer to that would be they had, what, six drives that averaged 67 yards. They could not – 10 of 14 on third down. They didn't have an opportunity. How many drives did the Eagles have to score points?
That's a good point.
The defense – the Packers offense controlled that game. Absolutely. That game was controlled by the Packers offense.
No question about that.
And I think, the offense, I'm not absolving them either, but I just felt like there were opportunities for Doug to establish the run game a little more, to take the ball away from Aaron Rodgers, and he didn't do that. And I think that once you gave him more opportunities, you were just shooting yourselves
in
the foot.
It's a 14-10 game, and you're on, you're driving in the Green Bay territory. And Carson Wentz throws an interception.
Bad interception.
And, as precocious as he is, and there's a lot of talent there, he threw an interception in a four-point game. He gave Green Bay the ball back, and then they made it a seven-point game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, just real quick about Doug's challenge. I mean, I know a lot of people are focusing on that. It wasn't a huge play or decision in the game, overall game, but it was another foolish day. They already had used the challenge unsuccessfully. That one wasn't so bad. It was early.
Yeah.
It was a matter of 19 yards, exactly. Whether starting from the one, versus the 19. They ended up driving the field 67 something yards or 69 yards for a field goal. But this one, when it came in the third quarter, was just, you're just basically getting 2 yards back. It made almost no sense. His answer, I wasn't in the press conference after the game because I was in the locker room. What was his answer, Zach?
His answer was that they needed to consider field position, and they wanted to get them in a second and long opportunity, even though it was only 2 yards. Frankly,
only remaining challenge.
And second and eight is a second and long opportunity, too. You know, I
And Aaron Rodgers, it didn't, you know... You wanted to avoid third down. I mean, like,
it just the odd thing to me with that is that, like you said, it's still a relatively close, or you're still in the game at that point. You might need that challenge again in the fourth quarter. And in that case, I'd say, even if it's a bad call, you can take your 2 yards. I want to have that red flag in my pocket for the final quarter.
He needs, like, just like when people are about to drive drunk, you have a friend, right? Doug needs someone to help.
Driver.
He needs a designated flag thrower to jump in there and like, no, and stop, try.
Doesn't it throw his players under the bus a little bit if he doesn't think they can take care of those 2 yards?
I don't interpret it as that.
It's not
I just think in the heat of the moment, he sees a bad call. He's probably told, that was not a catch, and he throws the flag. But that's situational awareness, and he talks all the time about his players having situational awareness. He needs to have it there.
Right. I don't want to go through the litany of questionable decisions Doug has made, but I think almost every game, and every game dating back to the Redskins loss, you can really pinpoint to a decision, Redskins game not helping out a big V early on. I mean, and then there's more game management decisions that have just I think cost the team a little bit. Doug, he's starting to pile up.
My email inbox this morning. I know that's a small sample size, but the approval rating does not seem very high.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Which brings us to Carson Wentz. I thought he had a very good first half.
I agree.
Now, people were telling me he was toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers. I don't agree with that. Aaron Rodgers second touchdown was just – there's not another quarterback that can make that throw in the NFL.
That's true.
Not even Tom Brady can make that throw because of the arm strength.
Yeah.
But Carson played very well. I think he was like 11 of 14 for 147 yards, ran – three times for 28 yards, something like that, 26 yards, and had a touchdown pass.
That first drive was the best we've seen of Carson Wentz all year.
He made DGB look like a really good receiver.
Yeah. And the way he sensed pressure.
I have to give DGB credit. He made some nice catches there.
But he was, that was, If that's the Carson Wentz Philadelphia gets for the next 15 years, the city's going to be very happy.
Right, and they had balance, 6 passes and 5 runs. Doug got away from that as well. That being said, Carson had a very, very, as you mentioned before, costly interception. The ball sailed on him. He got hit beforehand. He wasn't making any excuses after the game. It seemed like he got hit in the midsection a little bit. He came up wincing, or I didn't. Someone in the press box said he was limping. I mean, he was still out there. It doesn't excuse. I mean, the ball was like over. We've seen this, and this is when he's had a problem. The balls have sailed on him.
And it was second down. It was second down, and you're driving in the Green Bay territory. As I said a moment ago,
Ertz was open.
It's just that's not the pass. That's a bad pass to miss, and you're going to miss passes if you're a quarterback. I understand that, and I'm not saying Carson Wentz, you know, had a bad game or is a bad quarterback, but he made a bad throw in a bad situation.
Right. It should be noted that Jordan Matthews, though, didn't play pretty much in the second half. He has an ankle injury. It seemed like the offense then suffered as a result. All of a sudden, you have Paul Turner, Bryce Treggs.
Wait a second, Jeff. Are you suggesting that an offense with Paul Turner can...
Paul Turner is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I hate to make fun of fans. I really do, because I know that they think with their hearts.
And they pay our salaries.
But, you know, no, they don't. they don't. And Bryce Treggs, you know, is going to be DeSean Jackson reincarnate. But, you know... You're without Jordan Matthews. You got to give Carson a little bit of a break here.
And you're without Nelson Agholor, and that should not be overstated.
I know. Can you believe you'd ever say that?
But that's...
It's true. You tweeted this last night. He's one of their top three receivers.
Yes, and they're better, for all his shortcomings, they're better with him than they are without him. Because you look at who's behind him on the depth chart.
Right, so I mean, that's a bigger picture question. But Carson's still got to go out there and get. I mean, sure. Once Ertz is open, you need to make that pass, and then. But I think other than that, I think Carson was fine. I know people were like, I saw like Comcast or some of the guys after the game were like, give him a D or something like that. Yeah, no, that was not a D performance. I mean, at the worst, it was a C.
And that's where you wrote in your column after the Seattle game that they're failing him with the targets around him. And when you look at it, I got a lot of questions after the game. They didn't play Paul Turner enough. He wasn't out there.
23 snaps.
He was out there. He just didn't get open.
Yeah, 23 snaps.
He did not get open. Between him and Bryce Treggs, one catch. That tells a lot right there.
Right. I mean, you and I are writing on deadline. It's very hard to watch every single play in great detail, but we're going to do that when we get to watch the film later today and tomorrow, and I'll have a better idea whether he's open and Carson missed him. My expectation is that he was not. Yeah. My expectation, and I'm getting ahead of us here on the wide receivers, is that Nelson Agholor will be active again next week.
And we got to see what's up with Jordan Matthews. We'll find out in a few hours from Doug Peterson.
But real quick on Carson, you know, accuracy is a little bit of an issue for him. And in this league, it's increasingly come because of the way the defenses, the players that they have out there are so athletic, so fast. You have almost like linebackers that are almost like safeties now. There's very little room for margin. Sure. And there's very little room for error if you're not precise with your passes. You see it with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just hitting the receiver. It's hitting him on the right shoulder. Carson does that, but in man coverage, that seems to be the bigger issue for him, and he needs to be a little more precise. And I think that may come. But does that concern you moving forward?
Not significantly, because I agree it will come, and I also think it will help when you have wide receivers who can make plays on the ball. Like when he throws to Zach Ertz, Zach Ertz often makes plays on the ball in the air. Now the run after a catch, you want to see more, but he'll go up and he'll make a catch, and I don't think he has the receivers to do that right now.
Okay, let's go to Fletcher Cox, defensive side of the ball. As I mentioned earlier, I thought the defense was a little more responsible for this loss than the offense.
Probably so.
I'm not trying to make it
for the reason pit, you said for one the, against because, the other. Because when you said what you said a moment ago, it resonated that you're right, that they controlled the game.
They controlled
the game
with
the way third downs.
Yeah. And which, you know, would you have given Aaron Rodgers the ball first if you won the toss?
The Eagles always defer.
Like it might have worked for them when they got the 3 points before the half, and then they're coming out in the first half. So, I hate to look in retrospect.
I don't kill them
that.
Because they've been consistent this year. So, right. Yeah, they're a defer team. And Frank Reich noted that during right. the week. Yeah.
All right, Fletcher Cox got paid $102 million this offseason, or signed a contract that is potentially worth that amount, which makes him one of the highest paid defensive players in the NFL. Is he playing like that?
No. And he was the first month of the season. He won the NFC Defensive Player of the Month. We wrote those stories about how he's an ideal fit for the scheme. And then in the second month of the season, I gave him the benefit of the doubt because he was getting double teamed. He needs to make more plays, especially against an offensive line that had a backup right guard in there and a backup center in there. I thought Fletcher Cox is not playing nearly well enough right now. And on top of that, that was his third bad personal foul that led to points. Late hit, unnecessary.
All three roughness. On third down. Mm-hmm. All three gave an offense a first down, and all three eventually led to touchdowns.
Exactly.
That was my points. That was my bigger problem with Cox last night. I thought he was disruptive. I thought he did a good job. He won a lot of his one-on-one matchups. If anyone, he was the only guy that for the most part got Rodgers to move out of the pocket. Again, Aaron Rodgers is awesome. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. So much of what he does is to extend plays and move out of pocket and sense them and then to check out. I understand that Cox isn't always going to get sacks. You judge him by the sacks. But again, he had four sacks in the first month.
Sacks in the first four games.
Yeah, he hasn't had any since. So four sacks and only one forced fumble. I mean, that's not enough for Cox. And I hate to place too much emphasis on numbers, but you're seeing it. And that, for me, was always my issue. And I said this to you, Zach, even in the offseason. I said, I just question giving that amount of money to an interior lineman. Because they can be neutralized so much more easier than they can edge rushers. This was an Andy Reid, adage for years. You have strength on the corners, on the edge positions, and a cornerback, and at defensive end. And it seems like Howie Roseman is completely forgotten about that.
I don't fault them for the contract. I understand and agree with what you're saying, If the Eagles weren't going to give him that money, someone else would. I wouldn't let a player like that.
No, but how do you know that?
I'm speculating, but because players as good as Fletcher Cox get paid on the open market.
But is he that good?
I still think he's a really talented
player. I don't think he's worth $102 million.
Okay, and so
I think part of that has to do with the fact of the position he plays.
So if he hit the open market, you don't think he'd get that contract?
I don't know.
But the
Lions let Sue walk.
Exactly, and that's the argument. The argument is let someone else pay him.
Because they don't value that position.
Yeah. Because
look, they don't have records on the edges. So why not utilize that money towards really a more important position to me?
Because those guys don't hit the market.
What's that?
Because those guys don't hit the market either. Elite defensive players don't hit the market.
But I mean, okay. But at some point, you draft that guy and get him, or et cetera. Or I don't know. I mean, Vinny Curry, again, they spent too much money on.
He's been a big disappointment.
But, they go into this offseason, everyone's talking about wide receiver and quarterback, but they need a premier edge rusher. Again, you're not going to get. I don't know. I mean, how many teams do well in the playoffs that don't have those types of guys?
It's protecting the quarterback, getting to the quarterback.
We saw what Justin Houston did for the Chiefs on Monday night, Sunday night. We saw what Von Miller does. We saw
Khalil Mack against the Panthers.
Trust me, there's only so many of those guys, but to me, I just feel like that's a more important position. And Cox, I understand. They were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place there in terms of giving him that amount of money. That being said, it just kind of goes against the philosophy I thought the Eagles had one to stick to, which I guess brings us to cornerbacks. Again, strength on the edges. They've been horrible at evaluating that position now for many, many years. Yeah. Nolan Carroll, they gave a one-year deal to. Leotis McKelvin, they gave a contract to, a two-year deal to. Jalen Mills is probably the best of the three right now.
I think Nolan Carroll's still the best of the three, besides the holding penalties.
I don't know. Nolan, he's at least, I think he's Yeah, and maybe the NFL the penalties and holding are a penalties and passing
interference. The penalties are a problem.
Yeah, but he increasingly hasn't made many plays on the ball.
Okay, fair.
Either. I mean, he's had some okay games. I think he's a fine number two.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree with that.
So he's, again, he is what he is. Liotis is not even a number two at this point.
No.
I thought he's going to, he's not.
And they clearly don't think so when you look at that, how much Jalen
right.
Mills
he should
is
be. If I was Eagles, I would just pull the cord on him and put Jalen in there. Jalen's been better. You know, Jalen has been inconsistent. Some of that is because he's a rookie. But I think with him, and even now with the team where they are, it may be time to start playing some of these younger guys a little more. But what do you do at cornerback moving forward? I mean, is that your number one?
In my opinion, and I've said that all along, it's the biggest need for this team going forward. They're fortunate that they're looking at a what appears to be a really good cornerback draft, but they need to hit on the pick. You know, as many talented players as there are, it comes down to the guy making the decisions. And
I haven't drafted a first-round cornerback since Lito. 2002.
But the second-rounders and third-rounders they've drafted, they haven't hit on those guys either.
Right, and they let one second-rounder go for a fourth-round pick.
Exactly.
Eric Rowe.
It's a major weakness on this team. And going forward, if they don't fix that, and they've tried the free agent route too, and it hasn't worked. Byron Maxwell, Nnamdi Asomugha. They need to fix the cornerback position because even if you don't find a star, they don't have starters right now. You mentioned Nolan Carroll's an okay number two. Jalen Mills, he's a seventh-round pick who's still learning his way. They just don't have enough right now at that position.
But they've also invested a lot of money in the safety position, so you wonder how much can they put into that spot in terms of free agency.
No, you got to draft.
They're going to have to draft. They're going to have to draft, and they're going to have to develop. And you may have to expend a first-round pick if you want someone to start from day one.
But you need to hit on that pick. You need to hit on that pick.
Right. Okay, so cornerback, and then the other one that was we mentioned is wide receiver in terms of the Eagles' needs. We talked about this ad nauseum over the offseason, through the season, et cetera. Doug Peterson made the decision to not make Nelson Aguilar active. He said he wanted him to see with clear eyes. Is that what he said?
Yeah. What's that mean? With focus in his eyes, I believe.
What's that mean?
I think he wanted Nelson to take a step away. I disagreed with that decision. I understood why he wanted to do it. I disagreed with it, though. And I think they need to get Nelson Aguilar out there because he's one of their better players. And then going forward, I think that's a position they need to address in free agency, not the draft.
Yeah, I was okay with it. And I said this to you last week. I think I would have sat him.
And you were right, Doug.
Because they were hurting him. But at the same time, I mean, the replacements didn't do very well either.
Exactly.
It did. You know, DGB looked pretty good in that first half.
Yeah.
It freed him. Maybe it freed him up. I don't know.
But you could have still played Nelson in a reduced role. And that was the position I took going into the game. Don't play him 80% of the snaps. But what he needs is confidence. He doesn't need.
See,
focus
I disagree.
In his eyes.
I said I want. I thought I didn't like the gray area of playing him just a little bit. To me, it was like either you just play him or you sit him.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I if you're gonna play him, you might as well just play him.
I disagree. I'd play him. I'd play him 30% of the snaps, not 80% of the snaps.
Well, I don't think he should be playing 80% of the snaps in general. But my point is, like, I wouldn't have just had him out there as a fourth or fifth guy. I would have either played him a significant amount, or I would have sat him and had him watch.
But
it seemed to be fine when Jordan was in there. Jordan had a little more snaps on the outside. He had made some very nice catches, great back shoulder catch, which. I think that's when he hurt his ankle.
Yep.
And DGB was making making catches beyond just on slants. So it seemed like things were okay at the wide receiver position. DGB took another bad penalty.
Yeah, negated a 41-yard gain.
Right. Second screen in 2 weeks that the Eagles have had a long gain negated by a wide receiver penalty. So what do you think happens next week with the wide receiver position?
Well, I need to see Jordan's health, and as I said, we'll find that out. But regardless, I think Nelson Aguilar needs to be up because hopefully for the Eagles, he has that focus in his eyes now, whatever Doug Peterson wants. But he's one of their best receivers, and that's an indictment of the roster, but that's what it is. He's gotten open this year. Catching the ball has been a problem. But he's gotten open, and that's more than those other guys can say. And I think more of the question is, what do you do going forward?
Right. I heard the argument that Doug waited too long before benching Aguilar.
Meaning he should have done it earlier this season?
Yeah.
Maybe, but I think
it's a fair one. Again, but I agree with you that, like,
who are you putting out there?
Exactly. This isn't about...
This is how Howie Roseman constructed this wide receiving core. They went into this year deliberately with all young receivers, and they were willing to take their lumps.
Well, no, I mean, they went with Chris. They signed Chris Givens and Reuben Randall, hoping that those guys would...
Yeah, but my point is they cut those guys in August saying, you know, we're going with these first, second, and third year guys.
Right, you're talking about at the beginning of the season. Right.
Beginning of the season.
Right, because make no mistake, Howie Roseman's making every decision here.
Yeah, and I
every
think,
decision.
And I don't think they need another young receiver who's going to take time to develop.
And again, to be fair to Howie, the receiver position is not his fault.
It's not his fault.
It's the one position where you can look at and
that
say,
was
okay,
Chip's fault.
That was
Chip's fault. But I keep hearing the Eagles need the draft receiver. I disagree. The Eagles have some promising young players at receiver, Dorial Green Beckham being one of them.
Not promising.
But guys, you're developing. What they
Dorial can be serviceable.
Sure, but what I'm saying is they need someone who can step in right away, and you know what he is. That's where I'd spend.
That's
money
where you spend
free
a free agency.
Exactly.
But the only problem is free agency is very. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, there's guys.
That's
whether
a
it's,
lot of money.
It's Michael gonna, Floyd. Whether it,
maybe
you know,
the second tier guy. You're looking at one of those second tier guys.
Yeah, someone who can step in and be a starter for you and try to contribute.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
You need guys to make contested catches, and you see it week in and week out. I mean, I saw it in the Penn State game. I know it's
those
a different
nets,
level.
Yeah.
I know it's a different level, but it's like you just see it week in and week out, game after game, where receivers are constantly making tough catches, and the Eagles guys, you just never expect it.
Well, you see it against the Eagles, too. And that's like Jordan Nelson made a few catches last night.
Devontae Adams
made a few catches last night.
But, I mean, again, Jordan Matthews can make those catches. He's fine. But other than that, there's nobody else. I mean, Jordan Matthews is fine to an extent. I don't think he's at a certain level that he probably – some believe he is. Okay, we're almost done here. Let's just look ahead real quickly, Zach, to the Bengals. Mm-hmm. This is a short week for the Eagles.
Yeah.
The Bengals – It's bad. It's bad here in Philadelphia, but it's even worse in Cincinnati, where the Bengals have been a perennial playoff team,
Super Bowl aspirations.
Last
this year.
They were a couple plays away from playing in the AFC Championship. Yep. AJ Green is out. Giovanni Bernard
out.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, they got to go on the road. What do you think of? I mean, is this one of the things they're back against the wall? You keep seeing that around the league when teams really need wins.
But Cincinnati's out of it now. I mean, that loss to Baltimore, that was it. I believe they are 4-7-1 right now.
I think they're 3-7-1.
3-7. Yeah, yeah. My math was wrong there.
But so, the 6-5. So 6-5 are the Ravens and the Steelers.
So
technically they're not out of that division.
Yeah. So I think that Cincinnati is a team that's just having a bad year. I watched that whole game against Baltimore and was not impressed. And losing AJ Green obviously factors into that. But this is a game the Eagles.
But they had AJ
can
Green
win.
Up until last week.
Sure.
I mean, this is a team that has not played well even with AJ Green.
But this is a game the Eagles can win. I need to see how they look health wise going into the game. I need to see what's going on with the offensive line going into the game. But this is a winnable game. I just think it's too little too late, even if they do win.
Right. And again, this is kind of like a sleeping giant in a little... I hate to say giant, but a sleeping...
a talented team, yeah.
You know, just like the
Packers.
The Packers. I mean, you have Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback. Andy Dalton's not Aaron Rodgers, but on the defensive side of the ball, you still have Geno Atkins. You still have some good players.
Yeah.
You have Pac-Man.
You have Vontaze Perfect.
You know, you still have some decent players. You've had a scheme that's been successful for many years. This isn't a gimme by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know, but a lot of people have just started to turn off the podcast because we're talking about the Eagles. Because people want to start talking about the offseason. And I think we kind of did that a little bit. And I understand there's still five games here to play. They're technically not out of the playoffs. But yeah, I think as you what you'll see over these next few weeks in Zach and our reporting and our writing is we're going to start kind of looking a little, you know, Zach's covering the team on a daily basis, but I think we're going to start looking ahead to
big
what
picture.
This, yeah,
sure.
The more big picture because go ahead.
But there is one thing to address here, which is under you know balancing the expectations going into the season with where the expectations were in December. In other words, if you told you or me going into the year that they'd be 5-6 at this point, you'd probably take that.
I'm going 5-11.
Exactly. But
they could still go 5-11.
Yeah, but when they started the season 3-0, that's when expectations turn. And when you are, 5-4 going in, entering that back stretch of the schedule, it's fair to think about the playoffs then.
Yeah, I couldn't believe I heard so many Eagles can, if they can beat the Packers and they can beat the Bengals and they can win 5 of the 6.
Well, what gave you confidence?
The Bengals aren't good. I'm like, yeah, the Eagles aren't good either.
Yeah, you're right. And I texted you that the other day. And
I was like, yeah, but the Eagles aren't good either.
But I thought having 4 of 6 at home, I thought the way the Eagles were playing at home was something real. And that's why last night was such a major.
I think what's frustrating for people is that there have been a bunch of close games where there's been some decisions that have that have tilted, tilted the balance from away from the Eagles and towards the other team, and they've lost those. So there's been what could have been. I mean, what could have been if Fletcher Cox didn't take that penalty, that roughing, unnecessary roughness penalty. I mean, they were only down 4 at that point. They stopped them there on 3rd down because it was an incomplete pass. You get them back out there on the field, what could have been there? You've seen a bunch of those, and that's the NFL. It happens all the time. Good teams win close games. Bad teams don't.
I think that Ryan Matthews fumble against Detroit will be looked at as one of the seminal moments of the season. They could have moved to 4-0 at that point.
Right. I got another one for you.
What's that?
Doug's decision not to kick that field goal.
Against
the Cowboys. Against
the Cowboys. Okay.
Yeah. Or the play call.
Sure.
Like the combo, not kick the field goal there.
Yeah. I agree with you there. But if you had told me on that flight home from Detroit, the Lions would be where they are right now and the Eagles would be where they are right now.
Right, because the Eagles had that game. They were winning late in that game.
They were winning with the ball late in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
And then, but again, they got outclassed in Washington. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we're droning on here. It was good, though, to talk the day after a game.
Sure.
We won't be able to do that again for the rest of the season. But nonetheless, thanks for joining us for another episode of Bird's Eye View, and we'll talk to you next week.